Introduction to the Mahayana Text. Sharp Weapon Wheel. Part 5. Concluding with the foreword to the text by Siar Lama. Our capacity to comprehend the depth and vastness of this path is supported and nourished when we undertake to practice the six paramitas, the transcendent qualities of generosity, discipline, patience, effort, stability, and wise discernment. These are the qualities which free us from the mundane concerns of samsara. Firstly, we focus on generosity in order to transcend the self-referential desire to hang on to whatever we take to be ours. In samsara, our sense of lack has us grasping and clinging to objects which we will lose at the time of death. To share, to give away, to use what we have for the benefit of all others is not only supportive of others, but gives us the blessing of being taken out of ourselves. We move beyond being owners and possessors to become participants who can experience the sympathetic joy of being pleased at others' good fortune. Discipline supports us in overcoming impulsivity and self-serving habits. We stay on track and develop the dignity of knowing that we are able to keep our word. Discipline asserts that the rule, the law, the instruction, and the method are all to be privileged above our own ideas, our impulses, and our wishes. The path has been set out by the wise, and we can only follow it by attending to it and abiding by it. It is difficult to find true freedom if we are unable to align with the teachings. Whimsicality and self-indulgence are obstacles, not freedom. Patience supports delayed gratification. We learn to wait until the time is right, until all beings are right. To be patient is to align with the speed of the slowest person, to help them as they are, and not to subject them to the violence of our wish that they were other than they are. We have to learn to relax frustration and its attendant irritation and anger. We are for the other. Effort develops as the ability to apply ourselves enthusiastically and energetically to the practice in the face of all the varied conditions we might encounter. Effort requires the harmonization of the potential of body, voice, and mind, so that we move beyond reactivity to the fulfillment of our altruistic intention. Stability arises when our habits of impulse and avoidance are not indulged, and we succumb to fewer and fewer incitements to dualistic involvement, and thereby experience less and less distraction away from steadily focused attention. A stable mind is like a lamp held in a steady hand. The illumination it gives is regular and focused, and so whatever arises can be seen clearly, without inference or speculation. Wise discernment arises when there is the direct perception of the absence of inherent existence in whatever is occurring. This moves beyond effortful analysis to discernment of emptiness as the ongoing clarity of all one's experience. To see the absence of defining essence and substance in every appearance, whether seemingly outer or inner, is to see the actual truth of one's self and of one's world. Thus, it becomes clear that the deepest, most transformative compassion is that of not doing, not making, not interfering. By not reifying self and other, there is non-confirmation of both the actor and the acted on, the grasper and the object grasped at. The more open we are to the fact that the self is an illusion, the more we see all beings as fundamentally free of self, and thus the characteristics we have habitually projected onto self and other, and used as a basis for judging self and other, dissolve like darkness in the dawn light. Our freedom and the freedom of others are inextricable, and so we all awaken together when there is nothing to bind us to false beliefs. In order to block any backsliding into self-preoccupation, we develop the intention and commitment to practice giving others our health and happiness and receiving their pain and difficulties in return. This is the exchange, Tonglen, which cuts the root of self-cherishing and turns ego's values upside down. This practice has been praised and engaged in by the guiding lights of the Mahayana. For example, Nagarjuna, in his precious garland, says, "May their wrongdoing ripen in me, and may my virtue ripen in them." Similarly, Shantideva, in The Way of the Bodhisattva, says, "May the pain and suffering of all beings wandering in samsara ripen only in me." We can decide to make giving happiness and taking on suffering our way of life. Breathing out light from my heart, I exhale all my happiness as a gift to all beings. Breathing in the suffering of all beings, I take this stream of misery as my own and welcome it into my heart, where it melts into the black lump of my selfishness and self-concern, which it gradually dissolves. Now my empty, open heart is fearless in taking on suffering and offering happiness to all. Our breath is ceaseless and continuous. So, with this visualization, intention, and one-pointed commitment, there is not one second of my life in which I am not connected to all beings. Just as breathing is part of life, the very basis of supporting our finite life, so may compassion be part of our life, the very basis of supporting our infinite life. Whenever I am happy, I will give all my happiness to all sentient beings. May they enjoy unlimited happiness. Whenever I have difficulties and feel hurt and sad, I will take on all the sorrows and difficulties of all beings. May the ocean of suffering be exhausted with these and all other Dharma views and methods. May I reverse the wish to have the best for myself and less for the rest. May the fixed reference point of me first be dissolved so that my heart is an infinite warmth, a cornucopia of love for all, and a great dissolving ocean to cleanse the sufferings and limitations of others. Renouncing blaming others and seeking for causes outside myself, I accept that I am responsible for the suffering of all beings. I happily accept that this suffering is the consequence of my own previous negative actions. Instead of looking out and judging others, I will be mindful of my own tendencies and desist from feeding them further. Not only will I take on all the sufferings of others, but I will take their ignorance, poisons, and karmic accumulations, and all the other factors that cause them suffering. I commit myself to awakening to the open emptiness of my mind, so that, with the vanishing of egoic self-concern, the welfare of all can actually be fulfilled. With this, I am on the true way, and each moment of my life is profoundly meaningful. The great spiritual friend, the Kadampa Geshe, Langwe Tangpa Dorje Senge, composed these verses, which can express and support our heartfelt intention. The 8 verses of mind training. May I always cherish all sentient beings with the intention to achieve for them the highest good, which is more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem. Whenever I meet sentient beings, by seeing myself as inferior to them, may I always believe all others to be of the highest value. In all my activities, may I observe my experience, and immediately on the arising of the afflictions which cause mischief and harm to myself and others, may I recollect the powerful method and repel them. When I encounter sentient beings of bad disposition, who are oppressed by faults and suffering, may I hold them dear, as if I have met with a precious treasure that is difficult to find. When, due to jealousy, others revile and attack me inappropriately, may I accept their harsh triumph and offer the victory to them. If someone I have helped and put my hope and trust in acts to harm me in an unfitting way, may I consider them to be my pure spiritual friend. To be brief, directly, and by connection, may I offer benefit and happiness to all my mothers, and take all their difficulties and sufferings secretly to myself. With this aspiration never being contaminated by the defiling attitudes of the 8 worldly concerns, and with the clarity of knowing all phenomena to be illusory, may I be without longing and be freed from all that binds me. The 8 worldly concerns bind us into the polarity of hopes and fears on a daily basis. We have hope of profit and fear of loss, hope of pleasure and fear of pain, hope of fame and fear of defamation, hope of praise and fear of blame. Each time we fall into these potholes of duality, we can be grateful for the reminder that all our efforts are vulnerable to distraction and impulse until we are established in the openness of awareness inseparable from emptiness. Emptiness is the one great medicine that cures the sorrows of all beings. The mind, inseparable from emptiness, is the union of wisdom and compassion. This is the infinite opening in our heart, which is the source of all the light and love that we send all beings. It is also the space which can accept and dissolve all the difficulties and sufferings of all beings. At first, we are trapped in self-cherishing and so put ourselves first and seek to win. Then we gradually develop the Mahayana attitude of giving victory to the other and taking the last place, the loser's place, to ourselves. If someone has to be defeated, unloved, unwanted, let it be me. Dissolving pride, self-esteem, and self-referencing, we become a vehicle of love and service. The accountant in our head is banished as we no longer keep score of winning and losing. With this, we can move to the third stage of peaceful equanimity, free of attraction and aversion. For this to ripen into fruition, we must plant the seed of enlightenment in the ever-available, ever-fecund ground of emptiness and water it daily with our loving heart. With immense gratitude to Dhammarakshita, the author of this text, this translation follows the oral guidance of Siar Lama, Chime Rigzen Lama Rinpoche. As has been said so often by so many, the kindness of the Guru can never be repaid. Giving everything and asking for nothing except our own efforts on the path, Siar Lama opened the dazzling field of Dharma to our world-weary eyes. Siar Lama pointed out the tradition of alternative readings that can be made in the earlier verses. He emphasized that the text is one for daily reflection and application, since without love and compassion, emptiness can lead us to a desert of the heart. James Lowe, 2018. May all merit be shared by all. May all faults and limitations ripen only in the translator. Forward by Siar Lama to Sharp Weapon Wheel. The text translated here is a very small book in the original Tibetan, yet its meaning is very important. The main teaching it gives is the cutting of the ego, desire, ignorance, and so on. This is the principal and most essential point to be understood. Apart from this, the text deals with how to develop a proper, gentle, thoughtful manner and gives important instructions on correct social behaviour. This book is generally attributed to George Palden Latisha Dipankara Sri Jana, but it originally came from Dhammarakshita, who was one of Atisha's 12 principal gurus. Atisha gave this teaching to Trontsompa and translated it into Tibetan with him. This text became one of the main teachings of the Kadampa Lamas, who often had the custom that one man should get one teaching and do one practice, though some Kadampas also had many different teachings. From the Kadampas, the teaching spread to the Sakyapa, Kagyupa, Nyingmapa, and Gelupa. Nowadays, some people believe that this is only a Gelugpa text, but I do not agree. Though I might also agree, for the Gelugpa mainly do not have any special philosophy or teaching beyond the Tibetan Tripitaka, which was largely translated in Samye Monastery in the presence of Pambasambhava, Shantarakshita, Parochana, Vimalamitra, and others. All the religious sects of Tibet, except the Bön, come from these translations, and every sect follows the Tibetan Tripitaka. In particular, the Tibetan Tripitaka means the scriptures translated from Sanskrit into Tibetan. It includes the work of Lord Buddha and the Indian pandits, but not that of any Tibetan man. If one does not practice, then one will not get any result. The deep Dharma teaching and the general lay people's advice in this text are not like a strong injection of penicillin. Dharma practice must develop in one's own mind. It is not something that can quickly be pushed in from outside. But anyway, whatever one's level, if doing Dharma practice, then one must have faith in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. That is essential. By the virtues arising from this work, may the egoism and ignorance of all sentient beings be finished. Siar Lama, 3rd of April, 1979. From the book Finding Freedom, introduced and translated by James Lowe. Read by Wendy and completed during Sagadawa, May 2024.